Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, getting into the week. A lot of stuff to talk about. Our on-the-air phone number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And Matt is in the control room. He's twiddling the dials, watching out for us, his hand hovering over the phone, waiting for you to call in with whatever it is that concerns you today. Put you right on the air. Okay, we're going to start with the economy real quick. Then we're going to get back into this Iran situation. It is just, they're just laying it on with a trowel. That's how thick the bovine excrement is getting regarding Iran here. But let's start with the economy. The Dow basically flat. It was a push. It ended close enough to zero where we can just say, yeah, it was a zero. The Nikkei took a major hit last night, rebounding off of our 200-point drop yesterday. So the market, despite the plunge protection team, the market's just not looking all that good right now. There seems to be a confluence of economic indicators that are again suggesting that as we get to the end of August, first part of September, my sense is we're going to start seeing the economy really start to come apart at the seams. And I think our government is just desperate for anything they can do to distract us from that reality, from the handing of the control of our economy to the Federal Reserve, to all these other issues. We're getting dire warnings that both the United States and Great Britain are going to default on their debt by the end of the year. And you would think, with that much pressure on the economy, our government, if they had any sense at all, would cut spending by getting out of all these wars, shutting down all these bases all around the world, bring the money back here, cut taxes by 50% so that the people have got a chance to earn enough money to pay their bills down and put the economy back together. But it seems they're going completely in the wrong direction. A good example of just how bad it is California. And as always, I want to start off talking about California's economy with my favorite quote from Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Now, there's another way you can tell you, Republican, your faith in free enterprise, faith in the resourcefulness of the American people, and faith in the U.S. economy. And to those critics who are so pessimistic about our economy, I say, don't be economic girly man.
Well, there's Arnold's quote from his campaign to replace Gray Davis and become the governor of California. Well, he's been governor for a while. And the situation is that California is in a total meltdown. And what is alarming about this is that California was put hideously into debt by the Enron scandal. Ken Lay. Ken Lay backed Arnold Schwarzenegger to replace Gray Davis in California. And as soon as Arnold Schwarzenegger became governor, he basically forgave something like $8, $9 billion in debt Enron owed the state. Now, it isn't as if this was a zero-sum deal because California was still on the hook for that $8 to $9 billion they had borrowed to pay for all this inflated energy costs. And that interest on that $8 to $9 billion is really what put the screws to the California economy, along with the general downturn. And California is really home to they're home to the largest manufacturing belt in the United States. They've got more manufacturing than pretty much any other state in the country. They've got Silicon Valley, the largest high-tech center in the United States. Route 1 out in Massachusetts is number 2, but it's a distant number 2. California is the most populous state. It has the largest agriculture. Its economy is bigger than those of Russia, Brazil, Canada, or India, and it is still in trouble. It is collapsing. If they can't save California, the rest of the country is toast. And perhaps because of this, Barack Obama is out there warning the economy is going to get worse. Remember all this talk just a few weeks ago about green shoots and glimmer of hope and light at the end of the tunnel and rebound on the verge of the recovery and all that positive talk? Well, they're not even trying to pretend that anymore. Barack Obama is out there admitting the economy is in bad shape. It is going to get worse. It is not coming back anytime soon, which is why I think they're working as hard as they can to get a war going on somebody, anybody, several somebodies. So they've got something to blame the hardship on, because otherwise, if the U.S. government doesn't come up with a war on which to blame all of this hardship, we, the American people, are going to continue and with perfect justification and reason blame the U.S. government for the economic crash, because it was the U.S. government gave tax credits to corporations to send manufacturing jobs overseas. It was the U.S. federal government that repealed Glass-Steagall, which allowed the brokerages and the banks to basically turn Wall Street into a giant open-air casino. It was the U.S. government that has looted the Treasury and put us all much deeper in debt to shower money all over those same Wall Street gamblers who put us in this mess to begin with. Yes, the federal government bears the blame for the economic crash. They blew it. They made mistakes. Very short term, make the campaign donors happy choices. And it's ruined the United States of America. And they are to blame. And they're desperate to find somebody they can put that blame onto. Iran would be great. If that doesn't work, North Korea, if that doesn't work, Somalia, Pakistan, it doesn't matter who the war is directed at as long as the bombs are flying and they can wave the flag and say, look, you got to stand by us. Our country, right or wrong, during wartime. And they're hoping that kind of jingoism and war fever is going to distract you from just how we got into this mess. Okay. Now, Ron Paul got up in the Congress and he made a speech. It's basically just yesterday. And he made a speech basically saying that as far as he can tell from the actual results, Obama's goal of his fiscal policy seems to be to bring about a total economic collapse. Now, maybe they're just incompetent over there in the White House. Obama seems to be pretty much lost if he doesn't have a teleprompter. And maybe it is by design because they're already talking about a world bank and a world currency and a new world order. But if the United States is a free democracy, shouldn't we have the choice of deciding if we're going to join a large global version of the Federal Reserve or not? Or are we not allowed to choose that? We're only allowed to choose which channel on cable TV we'll look at tonight. That's the only freedom that we have right now. You want to fix the economy? You want to fix the economy? Here's how you do it. I'm going to tell you how the economy could be fixed. Short term, cut taxes by 50%. That will light the economy up like a Christmas tree for the short term. Yes, we're going to have to make sacrifices like not running around the world killing brown people, or giving very expensive and illegal weapons to other nations so that they can kill brown people on our behalf. I, for one, am willing to make such a sacrifice. Long term, we've given away our manufacturing to other countries for the last 30 years. Our government has given tax breaks to American corporations to make it easier to send high-paying American jobs to other countries. Then they stand around scratching their heads trying to figure out why Americans stop buying things. And we're suddenly unable to make the payments on the mortgage and credit cards. You gave our jobs away. Now, rather than deal with the loss of manufacturing back when it was still a small problem and could have been corrected, the U.S. government decided to cover up the loss of manufacturing by declaring the so-called service economy. This was a theory that you can prosper a nation by doing each other's laundry for a fee. From the point of view of the government, composed of politicians only thinking in terms of the next election, this was a great plan because they didn't have to deal with the loss of manufacturing, something most politicians are clueless about. They don't know how to make things. They know how to pass laws and they know how to pass taxes. They don't know how to actually make anything. You heard Arnold Schwarzenegger in his speech relying on the inventiveness and resolve of the American people. That's politics speak for, we're going to sit here and look good while you figure your own way out of the mess. Then we'll take credit for it when it works. So, anyway, from the point of view of the government, the service economy was great because the money would flip back and forth. They could tax it. Money was still flowing into the government coffers, but it was flowing out of the private sector, and no new money was coming in. If we don't get the manufacturing back, we're toast. That's it's plain and simple. We need a new Apollo mission, so that we get the technological fallout from that that jump-starts our industry the way the original Apollo did in the 1960s. Silicon Valley is the child of the Apollo moon program. We need to bring that back. All right, we got to take a break here for some commercials. When we come back, we've got two callers waiting on the line. We're going to get to them. 800-259-9231, and then we'll talk about Iran. We'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to go to Frank in New York. Aloha, Frank. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Michael. Yeah, you and I have disagreed on occasion over the past year, but I have to say your assessment today is spot on. And actually, earlier in the year at the World Economic Forum in Davos, all of these there was consensus reached regarding, you know, a new form of currency, and there was talk about the Federal Reserve and the Bank of England defaulting on, you know, their outstanding debt. And what's rather interesting is the Arnold Schwarzenegger's comment, considering that California represents the sixth largest GDP in the nation, or in the world, I should say,
yes,
and it's one of our 50 states, and to have that girly man kind of statement just shows how out of touch he is with the current situation. And yes, Enron did put him in, and yes, he is beholden to special interests. And it's time, you know, for the people, especially the California workers that have lost their 401ks and their state pension funds, you know, to demand action and redress. And I wanted to also mention that even Harvard has lost about 24.8% of their endowment as of last week, and today probably even another 12%. So they've been firing, I guess, close to 300 people involved in their financial management of their huge endowment. So in a sense, this is happening very quickly, and I think it's time for the U.S. to forget about Iran, which has been functioning very democratically over the last few years. And it's time to focus our attention here at home and bring our troops back from Iraq and Afghanistan and stop this undeclared war in Pakistan. And let's start to rebuild this country. And we can begin by providing necessary food and at least shelter to the homeless and many people that have been actually structurally displaced in our economy by sending facilities offshore, you know, for better tax purposes and profits for those that own the companies. And that's really all I want to say.
Well, thank you very much. And, yeah, the whole reason for the push-up in Iran and North Korea and all the rest of that, it is simply to give the American people something to think and fret about to distract them from the fact that the biggest threat to our lives right now are not North Korea and Iran, it is Wall Street and Washington, D.C. And if the American people wake up to that,
hear, hear,
and yeah, and finally let their anger go, then the news in Iran, nobody's going to pay attention to that anymore.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
And it's also come out that, according to the British press, that the U.S. spent $400 million with this false campaign regarding manipulating the elections, as the United States has done in 1953 with Mossadegh, and history is repeating itself. And we don't have the wealth that we had in 1953 to involve ourselves in these foreign entanglements. Thanks a lot, Michael.
No, we don't. You got it. All right, we're going to switch over to Sandra in New York. Aloha, Sandra. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Stan. Hi, thanks for having the show today. I've got a lot of questions, but I guess my first one is, let's get it out there, I just found out that Genesis Communications is an affiliate of ABC, and which, of course, we know ABC is definitely censored and monitored by the global elites and the government. So that brings to question if there's censorship on the air now.
Not of my show.
I'm sorry?
Not of my show.
Well, a friend of mine just called me from Florida, and she had tried to get on the earlier live show, and she was questioned by the person that answered the phone, and when the topic was related, they never put her on the air, and she was on hold until her battery almost died, and they were taking new callers, and they were even advertising live on the show that they were accepting callers if the lines were open. So,
well, I don't know whose show that is. You know, each radio host is able to set their own policy. And if some hosts want to filter the calls, that's their prerogative. On this show, the record, GCN and Sandra, my turn. This is censorship. Shut the heck up. Let me talk. GCN and ABC have not exerted any pressure for me to curtail what I talk about on this show at all. Also, my day job during the fall, I work on a TV series also owned by ABC. They have never through there exerted any pressure on me whatsoever regarding the content of this radio show or my website. So I can't answer for the other shows, but for this show, you know, well, look, you're on the air. Anyway, what else is on your mind?
Well, please don't tell me to shut the heck up, because that's very disrespectful, and I don't take that kind of treatment from anybody. So, you know, this makes me not even want to listen to this show anymore if you're going to talk to me in such a demeaning way. I'm an American citizen and a taxpayer and a homeowner and a voter just like you.
All right,
you.
Well, thank you for the call. Okay, thank you for the call. I mean, the reason I asked her to you know, please hush for a bit is she's throwing all this stuff out here and all these accusations, and she's not giving me the time to respond. And so if anybody's being rude here and abrupt, you know, if she wants to call in and try and dominate the conversation, yeah, she's going to get hung up on in that particular point. So I don't know what her issue is, but and one of the chat room people is saying it's a strange accent for a caller supposedly from New York. Yes, I'll agree with you on that. All right. Some other news coming in. As you know, over the last week, we had this big brouhaha about how North Korea was threatening North America and the United States, and they were going to fling a missile at Hawaii, and there was going to be huge fireworks on the 4th of July, and it was all this stuff. Okay. Now, today they're saying that North Korea, you know, is warning about the impending missile test. Okay, what North Korea has actually done, they're trying to use the word warning. We use the word because it sounds dire and ominous, okay? What North Korea has actually done is issued the notice to aviators and mariners. This is by international agreement when you're going to start flinging your hardware into international airspace and international ocean, international waters, you announce it ahead of times and say, we expect that this will come down in this area. You would be well advised to stay away. It's called a NOTAM. Every country does it. The United States Navy did it just before those live fire missile tests that accidentally shot down TWA-800. So this is what North Korea is supposed to do. It is not a threat. It is not a warning. It is the required, by international law, notification of where the tests are going to be. And according to the NOTAM, North Korea has just issued, their rockets are not coming anywhere near Hawaii. It was a tempest in a teapot. It's just something the media had to wave at you to keep you scared, to keep you from looking at the real threat to your standard of living and your lifestyle here in the United States of America. Okay, we're going to go back to the phone. We've got Tony in California. Aloha, Tony. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. How you doing? Hey, I just heard that last caller talking, and I had to switch over to the phone here. But, okay, just to sort of be clear, is GCN buys satellite feeds from ABC.
Mm-hmm.
That means I, as an independent business person, could go and buy satellite feed from ABC. That doesn't mean that you're affiliated with ABC. That's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
people run their
correct.
Own independent shows. So, I've called into this show. I've called into a few other GCN shows. I've never had my call screened. I've always just had my name, you know, ask who I am, where I'm calling from. That's it.
Okay. Tony, you want to stay into the next segment or are you
sure.
done? Okay, Tony, hang on to the phone. We'll be right back.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here. Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And
call
aloha.
Right now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
I keep doing that. I'm sorry, Mr. Announcer Guy. Anyway, we're back here. We're talking with Tony in California. And Tony, just to follow up on what you were saying, you are correct. The only link between GCN and ABC is that the GCN radio network buys time, buys access, bandwidth, on ABC's radio network satellite. That is the only affiliation per se. And so for Sandra to imply that there was some kind of control relationship is completely inappropriate. And as I was telling her, during my day job starting August running through March, April, I work on a very popular TV show out here that is on the ABC TV network. If ABC felt it was necessary to come in and try and control my content here, they would be exerting pressure through that situation, saying we'll give you more money and more work if you will stay off XYZ topics. That has never happened. Now, there are people on the production who don't agree with everything that is on my show and my website, and we have some very spirited discussions, which is what the First Amendment is all about. But nobody has ever exerted any pressure on me from ABC regarding the content of this show. So anyway, Tony, pick it up. What else is on your mind?
Yeah, I think that's exactly true. I've had some pretty spirited discussions lately, especially about this Iran stuff that's going on, because there seem to be a few people that I know on some of my lists that are from there, and they're westernized. And I think, you know, my only point would be you're pretty much right. You've been saying this all along, and maybe even a bit more lately, is that the bankers, the globalists, are really desperate. And it seems like they're really digging deep to try to find anything to distract us from, you know, the fact that the bankers have control over everything. In fact, there's this picture that I want to send to you, because I just saw it today. This guy put something on the back of his bumper that says, "No bankers left behind."
Yeah. Sounds good.
So you're going to love that one. Maybe you'll even want to put it up on your site. I don't know.
I just as well. Tony, I'm going to have to let you go here. We've got another caller who's ready to come on, and they're kind of in a little bit of a rush. So, Tony, thank you very much for the phone call. Switching over to Alex.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. What's on your mind today?
You know, I was driving home to eat dinner with my family and spend a few hours with them and then drive back to the office and work on the new Obama film and a book I'm doing. And, you know, to fight the New World Order here is the bankers openly announced worldwide dictatorship from Europe to the United States, getting dictatorial powers, bills where the feds control even rainwater on your land. The complete end of the 10th Amendment. We're desperately trying to have the states fight back. And I'm tuning into your show, which is always informative. I always learn a lot of stuff. You put a lot of time and energy into it, even though you really don't make any money doing it outside of your, you know, special effects business and TV stuff. So I know you do it as a service. And I hear that lady call in, self-righteous, so full of herself, so sure of it. And I want to explain something to that lady. Ma'am, that's how COINTELPRO works. You need to look up COINTELPRO and the church hearing committees. Government disinformation operatives who had even came out in the news had been government informants in the past. That's what the government does, is they make things up or they exaggerate things to manipulate the public into ever taking action. So instead of fighting the Federal Reserve takeover, or instead of talking about how they're staging this Iran situation for a strike, instead they just call and they call. And they've called me hundreds of times, emailed. We used to answer the emails and explain, no ma'am or no sir, on talk radio, they have things called satellite receivers in the AM and FM radio stations, and there's three major satellites. There's Jones, not me, don't own it. I promise there's other folks with the name Jones, and that's more expensive. It's about $10,000, about 24-hour feed a month. And there's Clear Channel, and they won't give you the code. They'll let you lease a transmission system, but then they won't let the stations have the decoders if it's not a Clear Channel show. So there's two groups. There's ABC. Anybody can call up. It's like having an AT&T phone that I'm calling you on. I don't work for AT&T. I'm not part of AT&T. I'm not the NSA spying on you. When I use an AT&T phone, I, you know, bought at Fry's Electronics. I promise. It's just an AT&T phone because that was the unit we got. I promise I'm not with AT&T because I'm calling in on an AT&T phone. So anybody, from local race car shows to shows about horse racing to animal shows, you know, there's dozens of those that are syndicated. Anybody listening can just call and lease a feed. And actually, in the early 90s, there was some court cases where folks had to sue some of the big satellite companies because these monopolies didn't want little radio shows to be able to do that, but it was found to be monopolistic practices, so people had to fight to even be able to get a satellite feed. And you explain to people, you go, we call up and we buy satellite feed like buying T1 from Southwestern Bell or Sprint does not mean I'm with Sprint. And they go, I don't care. You're a Fed. You work for ABC. So it's mental illness is what it is. And I've actually found responding to it and even explaining it to people, the type of people that are so uneducated, And you know, it's like if I have a General Electric light bulb in my house. I'm not with General Electric and NBC and the war effort. And so they want to not face up to the New World Order. They want to mentally distract, often to blaming the messenger hey, lady, let's just say me and Mike are the worst devils on earth. Why don't you do something about all the real issues that are going on and happening? But there's another level to this. We're never supposed to become successful. And there's a lot of sickos, not just COINTELPRO, but other people who are sociopathic. They're mad that you're successful, that I'm successful, that we have big websites like InfoWars.com and WhatReallyHappened.com. So they just make crap up about us. Take Ted Anderson, great guy. Ever since there's anybody, lets folks do whatever they want. Ted Anderson started Midas Resources, and he's certified as a corporation in Minnesota. It's on record. Do people go check that filing? No. They just lie and say we're owned by Saudi Arabia. And the guy that said that's been sued out of business by other people for lying about folks, but people don't care. So, I mean, I could say that the moon was made of cheese and that Mike Rivero is really a space alien from planet Pop-Tart. It's not true. Folks, me and Mike Rivero can't come take your house like the government can. We can't send the IRS after you. We're not the ones taking over. We're not the ones trying to launch wars. Our fruits are good. Our fruits are exposing corruption. Back in the early 90s, Mike was one of the first big websites exposing Vince Foster, the Clintons. All of this, me since the mid-90s doing this, our fruits are good. We're the good guys. We're not the government taking over your life. We're not the government sending SWAT teams at you. We're not the CPS kidnapping your kids. We're not the government putting fluoride in your water. We are the good guys. We are not the bad guys. And there's FBI and other COINTELPRO that put out jealous info that's meant for low-grade morons. So instead of intelligent people trying to speak to that lady, just move on. And understand they're mentally ill. That's why they're unsuccessful. That's why they're defeated. They're the stupid people the government communicates to. It's up to us, the smart people, to take action against the new order. But thanks for letting me rant, Mike. It's just you're such a nice guy. And to hear the personification of this and all the lies about me that are told, they're literally all lies. And that's fine. I understand we have a mentally ill, brain-damaged population. It's those of us that aren't mentally ill and brain-damaged that have to be to pull things together. It was 5% that beat the British. It's going to be 5-10% of us this time. The general public throughout history have loved being ignorant, buck-toothed slaves. They don't like fighting tyranny. They like picking a little target like Mike Rivero and saying, it's all your fault, Mike. It's all your fault. Okay?
Okay.
So it's all my fault, too. We're just very, very evil for fighting all this corruption and big government. And, you know, and again, lady, don't tune in. You know, she's like, well, I'm an American citizen, and I don't like being talked to like this. Hey, it's a free market, lady. This is our show. This is our network. You don't have to listen. We don't want mentally ill people listening, okay? We want serious people that want to take on the New World Order for the second American revolution and restoration of the republic.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Take care, brother.
All right, thank you very much for the phone call, Alex. And, yeah, that obviously you recognize the voice. It's Alex Jones just calling in. And another aspect about that lady who called, she's going, when she was doing the rant, she was saying, I'm a taxpayer. Like, for some reason, that would obligate me to allow her on the air on my show here. And, again, her accent didn't match the cover story that she gave here. And, you know, Alex is right. It's just more of the COINTELPRO stuff. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, last segment of the show devoted to Iran. Folks, they're selling a new overthrow. If they don't get that, they're going to go for a war. We'll be right back.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network.
And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the last segment of our show today. We've got a caller on the line, but before I get there, I really do want to talk a little bit about Iran. This situation is just completely out of control. The corporate media are just laying it on with a trowel. Every channel, every radio station, they're out there about bad Iran, bad Ahmadinejad. They're tyrants. They're dictators. They're cruel. They're murderous. All these other things they're just pushing as hard as they can. One of the stories that came out today, supposedly this family was billed $3,000 for the bullet that was used to kill their son in one of the protests. And folks, there is absolutely no corroboration for this story. I mean, some countries like China do have a bullet fee, but it's the cost of the bullets, $2-3. It's not $3,000. There is no corroboration for this. This is a story. It's just like the Kuwaiti incubator story. It is a manufactured piece of propaganda to try and get you so angry that you're just going to go along with the agenda against Iran. Remember what Adolf Hitler wrote in Mein Kampf. He warned about the big lie. He said, be very careful, because the more exaggerated and wild a lie is, the more people will fall for it. And he was not recommending it be used by the Nazis. He was warning about its use by the enemies of Germany. And it was a warning we all need to pay attention to. It's called the big lie tactic. When the lies get more and more extreme, people tend to fall for them. And so you get this story about the $3,000 bullet fee. It is just more propaganda. The corporate media, the U.S. government, they're trying to convince you that we are justified in invading Iran and overthrowing the government to install democracy and freedom, except it's not going to be democratic and it's not going to be free, because the U.S. never puts democracy or freedom into a conquered territory. It's always a puppet tyrant. This is what happened in Iran in 1953. Iran had a democracy. It had a democracy, and it elected a leader the Iranian people wanted, Dr. Mohammad Mossadegh. And the U.S. went in there because they didn't like him, and they overthrew the government using pretty much the same tactics we're seeing in Iran today, and they installed the Shah of Iran. So, going back to over this last weekend, on Saturday, big protest for Iran in front of the White House. I have still photos of it. I have a video of it up on the front page of what really happened. Look at those flags. Those are not the flags of Iran as it is today. Those are the flags of the Shah's government, the Pahlavi dynasty. It is a flag that has not been in use for 30 years. They didn't just go down to Flags R Us and pick these things up. Somebody paid to manufacture these flags for these protests. They're the flags of the Shah. And have you seen in the last 36 hours how much news coverage this guy is getting? Weeping about NADA and expressing his concern about the protesters and so forth and so on. The people in Iran, the students who are trying to put Mousavi into power, don't realize how they're being suckered and used, because Mousavi is being set up. If it looks like Ahmadinejad is really going to fall, then the American media is going to uncork on Mousavi, because he has links to terror attacks against the United States. So they'll savage him, and then he will no longer be in the running. That will leave a power vacuum in Iran, and that's when the U.S. is going to move in and try and drop the son of the Shah of Iran onto the people. That's why they're flying the Shah's flags at all of these protests now. It doesn't get more obvious than this. Now, I have an inside source who obviously has to remain anonymous, and what this person is telling me is that U.S. government employees are being encouraged to talk up regime change in Iran everywhere they go in public, wherever they're sitting, restaurants, bookstores, McDonald's, whatever. They're being encouraged to just start up talking about Iran and how much more wonderful a new Shah of Iran would be versus that tyrannical democratic dictatorship that they've been living under for the last 30 years. This is 1953 all over again. They're still screaming that the elections were a fraud. Folks, who had a motive to cheat? Maybe there was fraud. I would not be at all surprised. But I got to tell you, there's far more evidence of fraud in the 2000 and 2004 American elections than there has been in the elections in Iran. But let's be practical. Would the guy who's leading 2-1 resort to vote fraud and risk delegitimizing his own election? Or is it more than likely that the vote fraud was on the part of Mousavi, who tried and failed to steal the election? And so now the riots are his fallback position, his second try. Now he's talking about calling a general strike. He wants the rulership of Iran, and he doesn't care how many Iranian people are hurt or killed for him to have power. That's a very dangerous kind of a person to have in a position of leadership, where they don't care what it takes. If they're willing to do anything to achieve the rulership of a nation, they're going to be willing to do anything with it once they have it. We're going to go to the phones. Mike in Georgia. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Annyeonghaseyo, Mr. Rivero. Annyeonghaseyo is Korean for hello. I thought you might want to know that, so when the North Koreans establish their beachhead there in Hawaii, that you'll be able to greet them in their native tongue.
Oh, there's a whole icebox of kimchi down at the Safeway Market here at the bottom of the hill. They're infiltrating. They're infiltrating in the kimchi section. Anyway, what's on your mind?
Okay, I've got about three things that I want to ask you about. One of them was the video you just talked about being in front of the White House with this demonstration. What happened to the free speech zones? Are they still in effect, or did they just do away with them?
Well, they're not in effect if it's a protest that the U.S. wants to have happen and be on ABC, CBS, NBC, and so forth and so on. Obviously, these pro-Shah flags were meant to be seen in front of the White House. It's sending a signal that the U.S. will back not just the bring down of Ahmadinejad, they're backing the complete destruction of the current Iranian government. That's the signal they're sending. So, of course, they're not going to put them in free speech zones.
I'm kind of offended by that, you know, that when we had our election, everybody that wanted to protest got put in a free speech zone where they couldn't
see. You noticed that, did you?
Yes, I'm trying to, I'm not familiar enough with the laws of establishing the free speech zones, but I assume that they're, tit for tat here.
Well, the law is very simple. It's whenever and wherever they feel they're necessary. And if they don't feel they're necessary, you don't get put in them. But, yeah, any time it was a protest against the crooked elections in our country, people got shuffled into these free speech zones where they would not be seen or heard. Obviously, by virtue of what you've just pointed out, and good catch, by the way, the U.S. government wanted the flag of the Shah to be seen waving in front of the White House. It is sending an unequivocal message that the U.S. government backs the overthrow of the entire Iranian government, not just Ahmadinejad, but the entire government, the entire democracy. It is 1953 all over again.
I kind of want to point out that Iran obviously doesn't have free speech zones either, because they have protests that, are coming right down the main drag. I wanted to ask you a question. I appreciate you putting up that article on Savak, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. I think it's very important. But after that, when the embassy was taken over and the hostage situation took place, was it the Shah that came to the United States, and part of what they were demanding for the hostage was his return? There was somebody that was in the United States then that helped, was one of the main implementers of this, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Part of what they were mad about?
The government of Iran, the new government of Iran, the present government of Iran, wanted the Shah returned to face war crimes trials, much as the people of Chile wanted the return of Pinochet. They finally got him, but the U.S. was protecting the Shah because the U.S. was, the Shah was the Americans' representative in the government of Iran. And so the U.S. had to protect him because otherwise other puppet rulers working for the United States government might get bad ideas.
Okay, I was going to kind of point that out as an important part of this, because it shows how much what's going on now is very much so like other activity that's been promoted by the United States, basically illegal invasions into their country and the commissions of war crimes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a repeat of the same pattern. And what's interesting is I think they're beginning to understand that there really is a huge credibility problem, because, Barack Obama was out there earlier today saying, no, we've got nothing to do with this. We're not doing anything at all, which is kind of odd, because only a week ago he was apologizing for the U.S. role in the 1953 overthrow. And I think his thought was that if he acknowledged it and apologized for it, then everybody would say, well, he wouldn't have done that if they were planning to do the same thing all over again. But I think it kind of backfired on him, because it reminded everybody that, yeah, this is what the U.S. does. Mike, I am sorry we are out of time. I got to seriously think about stretching this show here on GCM. That's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow, 5 p.m. Central Time. Until then, stay safe, be well. Do me a favor. Go out there on Twitter and Facebook. Not what really happened. You need to go out there and fight the propaganda war regarding Iran. They're trying to start a new war in Iran. The propaganda is being shoveled out there, and it's a street fight. It's a street brawl. And success is going to be to that person who stands up one more time than the enemy knocks them down. So keyboards up, and go do your patriotic duty. And until tomorrow, aloha, America.